seek God for revival and spiritual awakening throughout the world, our nation, our state, in our community, and in our church. I know I have not taught on fasting, but in a very short summary, fasting is simply focused prayer acted out, if you will, a prayer without words. Fasting may be a total fast from one meal or from a particular type of food or for the whole day or for an extended period of time. I will leave that up to you on how you put it into practice. I'm simply asking that you consider joining with thousands in our denomination who will be participating. Secondly, we've been asked to pray daily and specifically together once a week for 3 weeks in January to pray together. I've set aside Thursday night, January 5. Everybody say Thursday night, January 5. I'm glad I didn't ask for you to say that in unison. Thursday night, January 5 at 7 o'clock, and then Wednesday night, January 11 at 7 o'clock. For those who can come together for an hour of corporate prayer, we will provide childcare for small children on those nights. The following week, January 18 at 7 o'clock, the annual week of prayer for Christian unity begins here at our church, and we'll begin hosting several other churches who will come together for prayer and celebration around the theme of Christian unity. You'll be hearing more about that soon, and as Nancy so beautifully apprised you of that. I am blessed to be a pastor in this wonderful church, and I'm looking forward to this coming year and seeing God at work through all of us. Happy New Year, and I hope to see you, to see many of you Thursday night and the rest of you next Sunday morning at our new service times. In his service and yours, Pastor Steve. So God bless you. I hope that you will take this to heart. This letter, at least in abbreviated form, maybe in full form, is in your bulletin also. But Steve wanted me to read it publicly for you, and I lost the battle with Jerry, so there it is. Now you have it, so get her done.
Somebody say amen.
Okay, Harry, I'm back to the other mic.
Yep, it's on.
Well, good morning. 2012.
Don't do that. I have ADD and I'll have to start all over. Okay?
Now, welcome. This morning I'm just gonna be real, which I kind of am anyway, but I'm just gonna be open. I just want to speak to you today. What God has placed upon my heart. So here we go. I mess up. Oh well. Dale or Steve will pick up the pieces next week. New Year's. It's just kind of it's another day, but it is a place of new beginnings, as it is a place to stop, refocus, kind of check where we're at, where we've come, where we're headed, and so. That's what, to me, as I was thinking in the last couple months, as we approach today, I was crying out to God. I said, Lord, what's on your heart? What are you saying? What do you want to say? What, as we move into this next year, is something specific, you know, I got to get my chicken scratch notes here. I said, what is it that's, what's on your heart? You know, I mean, I can go and get a internet sermon and all that. We don't do that. Thank God we don't do that. Steve doesn't do that. But we have leadership that's on their face before God and saying, Lord, what's your heart? What do you want to speak here? So I want to read, as I was preparing, I sat down with the Lord and I wrote something out that I felt that He put on my heart. So I'm going to start with that. It's really kind of almost a prophetic word. So, you know, sit back, open your ears, and like my buddy always used to say, take the meat and leave the bone. If something speaks to you, let it get inside, okay? But this is what I wrote in short. It says, 2012 will be a year of great victory, personally, as well as a time of great stretching. You will be challenged to let go and trust me. For those who dare to follow me, you will see the windows of heaven open to you. You will be reminded. I didn't do it. You will be reminded that there are giants in the land, and I'll explain that in a minute. These naysayers may be people that are close to you. Choose this day whom you will follow. Guard your eyes, your thoughts, and your tongue. Give no place for that which is unholy and destructive to your souls. I wrote that down, and as I was looking at that, I knew what God was saying about the giants. It says that you will be reminded, there's always somebody around you when you begin to move and hear from God and move in a direction, as you can see we are doing. There are always the naysayers. There's always an obstacle. There's always what you'd call giants in the land. You know, when they came back, the guys that spied out the land before they went in, the majority of them said, oh, we can't, it's a great place, but there's these big guys that will take us out. You know, we're going to move forward into 2012 and moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, and where God is leading us, for those who will step forward, those who have enough courage to say, God, here's my life. But you're going to find that there's always somebody, and it may be somebody really close to you, it may be somebody sitting next to you, it might be the world, it might be, it doesn't matter what, but there are giants in the land, and these naysayers, You're gonna encounter those things. But the Lord says, choose this day whom you will serve. Who will you listen to? And then He also reminds me to guard my eyes, my thoughts, my tongue, what we say. Give no place for that which is unholy and destructive to your souls. I probably have as much freedom as anybody in this room to come and go and to do. But I know there's things that are not good for me. I know there's things that will take me out. I know there's things that the enemy has placed in my path that will destroy me. And every one of us have choices whether we want to listen to that voice and go in that direction, or if we want to say, you know what, I'm checking that. Lord, help me with those things. I'm not going to give in and move in that direction. So anyway, in a nutshell, that's God began to speak that. And as I was listening, I was, you know, like I said, about 2 months ago. Now, I wrote that December 18th when the Lord spoke that to me. But before that, something started. I think it's just because of the mantle that God has placed upon me now as in pastoral leadership. It took me a little while to put that on. And accept that, you know. I'm just Gary, the carpet dude that came in, and I don't have a job, now I'm working. I'm on staff now, and I'm doing this and this, and Ricochet Rabbit is... What's wrong with this mic? Hello? Anyway. Sorry, I got sidetracked. Anyway. But the Lord spoke to me one day. He says, look. He says, you're not here because you didn't have a job, the boys' school closed, and you just said, well, what the heck, I'll just go to work for the church. You're here because I've placed you here, and my hand is upon you, my call is upon you. Right? Well, it took me a little while to grab onto that, and I'm still wrestling with it somewhat at times, you know. You know, when I run into somebody in the streets, oh, what do you do? Well, I'm on staff, I work for the, you know. I'm a pastor of a bunch of people that love God and we're going somewhere, okay? So, as I tell myself that, as I remind myself that, as God reminds me, and you know, so I begin to call out to God, Lord, what is going on? Where are we going? Why do we gather here? I mean, what's my place here? What's your heart for this church? And so the stirring started a few months ago, you know. And out of it, and my wife and I, as we were talking, she reminded me, and I said this a number of times, it's an urgent sense of urgency. I sense God urgently calling to his people, to this church. Now, it may be the church at large, I'm sure, but I'm only responsible for here right now. And that's what I was asking God for. Lord, what? And this sense of urgency as I begin to write that and as I started trying to hear his heartbeat, what, God, what are you doing? His call is to his people to re-examine, and there's no better time really than the first of the year. It's kind of a start, like I said, it's a starting place again. It's a fresh start. Nothing special about January 1 other than the fact that we can stop, we can regroup, and as we look forward, God, where are you taking us? What do I have to do in my life? What challenges do you have for me this year? Where are I don't think I like this microphone. But hey, hold the receiver up like this, and thank you. So here goes. Oh, we've already been going, but here's a little farther. Sense of urgency. As I was reading, sorry, my Bible's kind of coming apart here. Yeah, used too much while I was new. That's a good thing. As I was reading in Matthew, if you'll turn with me to the 25th chapter. Jesus talks, he just got done in the 24th chapter. His disciples were asking him, when are you coming back? What will be the sign and all that? And many of you have read that over and over. And he talks about the signs of the times and different things that are taking place and so on. And then as you move into the 25th chapter, this is what it says. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens or virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. They all rose, then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Now, there's a lot of analogy in here. There's a lot of things we could pull from that. But what's the essence of this? And as I've looked throughout the years, he's speaking to the kingdom of heaven is compared to 5 or 10 virgins, 5 maidens. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. Now, if you read the story, you see that they all had lamps. And you know, a maiden or a virgin is something without spot or blemish, untouched. They all had lamps, they all had oil, but only 5 had extra flasks of oil. So if you will, they all were believers. At least I believe that's what it says. They all had lamps, you know, and they all had oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. The only thing is, five of them had extra flasks of oil. We're talking about a readiness, a preparedness. And you know, the other thing was interesting is they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, when there was a cry, they awoke. They all got up and they began to trim their lamps, and the foolish said, "We didn't prepare. We don't have enough." But the ones who had extra flasks went into the marriage feast of the Lamb. Now, I don't want to stretch it way out much farther than that, other than the fact that, where are you? What does that represent to you? What is God speaking to you? A sense of urgency. God is asking His people to step forward. An urgent cry. That's what I've been hearing. I'm not going to slam anybody. I'm here to encourage all of us. Because this is to me as well as anybody sitting in this room. You know, God is calling us to... What does that mean, readiness? What does that mean to have extra oil, extra flask of oil? You know, what does that mean for you? In Matthew, if you'll turn again with me to Matthew 7. You know, I think back at times, you know, I've thought about this throughout the years, but it says in Matthew 7, starting with verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many." I mean, stop and think about that. What does that say? The road into destruction is wide, and many follow. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I think sometimes we get complacent. I know I have in the past. And we forget we serve a holy and awesome God. And I love the fact that we are a church that says, "Come as you are. I want you to be real. I want you to be who you are. I'm nothing put on." But at the same time, in the process of all that, I mean, there's freedom in that. There's life in that. But I just want to make sure that in the process of all that, we don't go too far out there and bring dishonor to the Lord. And I've done that. You know, I mean, some of us have done that. So we forget that we serve an awesome God, a holy God, that loves us, that died for us, to redeem us, and has empowered us with the Holy Spirit, has called us to step forward into a world and to love people and to share the kingdom, to share the good news. That's what the church is to be. So, I don't want to be stuffy and religious, and I'll talk about that in a second, but I don't, on the other side of that, I don't want to be so far in left field that I dishonor God, you know? And I don't think you guys do either, you know? So, as we move into this year, again, a couple things that I'm reminded of. A sense of urgency. I hope I can try to communicate that to you, that is God... Is God asking you, look inside, where am I? What am I doing in this thing called church? Where am I? What's my place? Where, you know, what's happening? Is there things that need to be challenged and checked at the door and changed and transformed? We all have stuff. None of us have arrived. And God's in the process of building a people. He doesn't care about what you do for Him, but what you become in Him. Okay? So, day by day, as we encounter these things, you know, I always like this analogy. We're talking about the word integrity. Is that right? Integrity. Yeah. Being a man or a woman of integrity, it doesn't mean that you never mess up. It doesn't mean that you don't ever falter, that you have it all together. It just means that when you do, you backpedal, you turn around, you go another direction, you make amends, you grow from it, and you move forward. That's what integrity is. You know, so we all miss it. We all have stuff that we're working on. And I'm saying, God's saying, come on, let's go. As we move into this year, let me share one other thing. And I'm sorry if I get a little scattered, but I don't do this every week, so you get what you get. Just a second. I forgot what I was going to say. Let me look at my notes here. Oh, I also wrote a few notes. You know, it's not going to be life or church as usual. I mean, and some of this, all I can say is that it's right here. It's in that little thing called your knower. You know that you know. I don't know how I know. I just sense things, and I'm hearing God's heart. I don't have all the facts and figures and so on and so on, but there's just something as part of that stirring and that urgent cry, and that I just sense that as we move forward, life happens to all of us. We have mountains, we have valleys. We all know that. We've all gone through it. And if you guys haven't had them yet, get ready. Be encouraged, brother. But it happens. It happens. The point is, as we come into this year, when they happen, we go back to the flask of oil. Those who have prepared, I used to call it, you know, being intimate with God, but the other term I want to use, those who know Him, those who have a closeness with Him, who have a relationship that comes out of prayer, that comes out of trials and testing. And when we just went through something here a while back where we're standing up against a brick wall and the enemy blew it. I mean, the enemy is trying to keep us from moving forward, and the enemy just blew that. Then God just blew that wall apart, and we move forward. You know, in the area of finances and different things, God is a faithful God, and you don't know that until you're back up against that wall, and you have to say, God, I have nowhere else to go but You. And then you'll find out, gee, do I really know You? Do I really trust You? I say I do, but when you're standing at the 11th and a half or 11:59 and you're going, God, we got like 1 minute or we're going to die. You know, I mean, not quite that, but you know what I'm saying? We're standing up against the wall and when all of a sudden, bam, he comes through and he provides a way and you see his hand miraculously move in your midst. It doesn't always go the way you want it. But God is a faithful God and He loves you. He died for you, not to leave you like you are, not to leave you downtrodden, but He wants your life. He wants it all. So if you're playing games and you're on the fence, the lukewarm things that talked about in Revelation chapter 3, the church at Laodicea was lukewarm. They were just kind of, they weren't hot or cold. Hear the cry of God, an urgent call, urgent sense of urgency. Step forward, move forward, trust Him. And as we do that, we're going to see His hand. You know, you grow. You can't help but not growing when you're looking for a job or you're looking for an answer to something, and you don't have a way out. And it's easy to say, I trust You when it's all there. Oh yeah, I trust the Lord. I trust Him with my funds. Wait till they're not there. Then what are you going to say? Lord, I better go get me another job, or I got to go do this. I've been there. I've done that. I've lived this. I'm not telling you something I haven't experienced or I haven't gone through. I've been there. And anyway, if I get off track, somebody just raise your hand and say, Gary, you're off track. Not you, Dale. Not you. So, as we move forward, I mean, who wants all that God has? Why would you not want all that God has? Fear? The unknown? A couple other things I just jotted down. Wake up and pay attention. These are some of the things that God was just... I just made some notes. Wake up and pay attention. As we encounter some of the trials and the mountains and valleys that'll be out there this year, wake up and pay attention. I'm going to share this. I was coming into town, a couple days ago, and Dale just read how the denomination is asking us to move forward, to come together and to pray. And to pray for an awakening, revival, if you want to call it that. When Steve called me, he says, hey, he says, look, I got a letter that I got the same thing from the denomination. I just hadn't had a chance. I browsed through it, didn't look at it, didn't read it, you know. And I'm thinking, oh man, you know, I don't know what this is all about. Steve said, in response to that letter, I'm going to have you or Dale read it and to the congregation and asking people to come together. The denomination is setting out a time of fasting and prayer as we move in the first 3 weeks of this year. My first response was, just off the top, I haven't been, quote, a prayer warrior, one of those intercessors, you know. Thank God for those that have that gifting and calling, you know. But it's just not something that's just chomping at the bit to do. I'm just being honest with you, you know. And as I was driving in the car, I turned on the radio, and I'm listening one of the Christian speakers, I don't even know who it was, and he began to share a story. Some of you guys heard this, but him and his film crew, they were in another country. They're going to countries. And he just, you know, he was stirred at night. In the middle of the night, he was just going into this one particular country, he was disturbed, you know. And he went on to share that, you know, he was just fearful, you know. He just felt all this yuck, you know. Well, he gets down there. They get down to this country, and they're down in the midst of the in the town there somewhere. And it was a South American or something. And this guy came up to him and said, "Hey, are you guys like rich Americans? Where are you staying at?" Well, one of the guys ended up telling him where they're staying at this hotel. And there's this guy. There's three or four people with them, you know, and so he had, and everywhere they go in the city, these characters were following him around, what first got my attention is, wow, you know, the Lord put all this, bad things, thoughts, or something in my head. And I thought, what's he talking about, you know? What do you mean, you know? So it caught my attention, so I ended up listening to the whole story. And what he was saying is that everywhere he would go, these guys were there, they were scoping him out and checking him out, and the next day, him and his crew had to drive 80 miles down this desolate road to another city. They were on some mission outreach thing, had a film crew and so on. And again, he was scared. He just knew that something bad was going to go down, okay? So before they left that afternoon, they were going to leave the next morning, he said, gosh, I just need to go talk to this guy, you know? And he was saying, I wish I knew where he was at. And all of a sudden, boom, there he is, you know? So he told his crew, he said, you guys wait here, I got to go talk to this guy, you know? And he went up and he confronted the man. He says, hey, you know, Jose, he says, yes, man, you know, he says, look, he says, I know you have evil thoughts in your head. He says, I know you have evil thoughts in your head, and you have devised a harm to come to us and whatever. He says, we're going to be taken off and going 80 miles down that road to the next town. He says, I'm going to tell you right now, he says, I have a host of angels that are going to go ahead of us, and if you guys try to mess with us, they're going to pretty much kick your butt, you know? And the guy says, hey, man, you're trying to scare me, dude, you know? And he says, I'm just telling you right now that this is what's going down, you know? So the long story short, the guy would, next time he saw the film crew and these guys, they would leave, they ran away from him, you know? And the whole point of this, the deal was, as I was hearing the Lord coming into 2012, and I just told you about mountains and valleys, Well, to expand that a little bit, I saw God's hand, I said right here, knowing that something's going down this year. I saw God's hand move powerfully, but I also saw the other side of that. I didn't see details, I just sensed something. And I got this fear, you know, that just welled up inside of me. I thought, gosh, you know. I mean, you can, you know, let your mind run wherever it will. I'm not going to put anything out there, but I just thought, I go, great victories and great trials. And I don't just mean not having enough money to pay the bills at times. I mean, I saw, just like he was talking about harm, different things that may, you know, and I experienced this fear. And then the guy said, he says, listen, what happens, he says, when those thoughts come, and he said that God put them in his heart or whatever, and I'm thinking, why would God put fear? It's to call his people to pray. We don't have because we don't ask. And I saw myself, I go, gosh, you know, I'm here, I'm ready to take all this fear and all this stuff that could happen to me and my family or this church or whatever, and instead of standing up and saying, no, Lord, I'm going to be on my face before God, and I'm speaking against that stuff, prayer is powerful. So when we're asked, and it's confirmed with the denomination, we read this letter, come together, let's come together and pray and lift up this community, lift up the leadership, the church. An urgent call, an urgency, a sense of urgency. God is calling us forward this year. I don't know what's ahead. None of us do. None of us know the day we're going to step out of this clay body. But until that day happens, it's my task as a man of God, as a leader, to call, to encourage and to say, come on, let's go. You know, let's relook at our lives. Let's look at what needs to change. Let's look at where we're at and where we're not at. And God, what are you speaking to me today? You know? And as he shared this story, I'm just going, oh my gosh, you know? I've never been a quote prayer warrior, but at the same time, when I thought about, I mean, come on, let's ask yourself something. When they tell you, well, we're going to have a prayer, we might get 12 people, maybe, you know. We have gotten complacent to the point that we don't understand prayer. We don't believe that God's alive and working. If we did, and we would flood the doors. We would, and it's just not a put down, you guys. This is not, I'm not here to slam anybody because I have the same thought, man, and I'm trying to be one of the leaders here. But God showed me, he says, look, he says, don't roll over and play dead. Stand up, move forward, and say, God, use me. We don't have because we don't ask. Amen? All right, you guys aren't sleeping on me now. Anyway, it was a conviction that I had, and God just used a radio program, which I rarely listen to. I mean, I listen to some of the music. I just rarely turn it on, and this thing came on. So that brings me to a couple questions. A good friend of mine, a month or so ago, asked me. We were talking about ministry and different things, and I was talking about his, and I said, "Man, I don't know how you do that. It's not my heart, you know." So he says, "What's your passion? What's your greatest passion?" What is it that when you get up in the morning, you just know that's what you're designed to do, or that's just something burning inside of you that you just can't get away from? And it doesn't have to be just, you know, preaching the Word of God or whatever it is, that anything around church type ministry. It's your passion. What are you designed to do? What has God placed within you that you just can't, you know, you just can't imagine yourself not doing, you know? Well, I've been blessed to the fact that I like to do a lot of things, and God has given me a lot of abilities. But when he asked me that question, I had to stop, and I was stumped for a minute because I thought, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I play worship and different things, and I didn't really have an answer for the moment, so I'll have to take a rain check. She says, okay. And so I'm asking you these. This is, I want you to think about this. You don't need to lift your hands and all that, but you need to identify this as we move forward. As God calls us into this next year, as we move forward into the kingdom of God, whether you're an electrician, carpet layer, cook, whatever you do, if that's your passion, if God has placed upon that, because we need believers in every area of life. The other question was this: then what's your greatest fear? What's your greatest fear? He went on to say, he says, most of the time your greatest fear is not being able to live out your greatest passion. And we all have fears and things, but I mean, let that sink in and chew on that, you know? The Church of God, I mean us, we all, we're moving forward. God has a design. He has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for this church. He didn't call you out of darkness and set you into His light, fill you with His Holy Spirit so we can just exist. We have a mission. And that mission doesn't have to be sticking tracks down somebody's throat. We live it out every day in our workplace, in our life, wherever we're at, school, when you're leading people, when you're trying to serve funky food over to Applebee's or whatever it is you do. Playing drums. Wake up. Don't even sleep. Oh, come on. Don't even sleep. Gosh. No, you know we do. God needs, He has a force. We are the force wherever we're at. But, I just know that in our complacency or in our humdrum everyday life, and even it happens at church, we've lost connection with a holy God. We've lost that sense of how awesome He is and how finite or how temporary we are. So I hear His cry, who will step forward? Who wants all that I have? For those who dare to follow me will see the windows of heaven open. I can't interpret that for you. But that's what He spoke to me. You will be reminded they're giants, they're naysayers. So what? Do you have extra flask of oil? Do you have that preparedness, that readiness? Have you spent the time? Have you gone into the Holy of Holies and basked in His presence? That's what the word intimacy is, having intimate times with God. You know? It's not just sing a couple fast, ease a slow, get on your knees, lift your hands and go home. It's like, do we know Him? That word know is a word that means most intimate relations with a husband and a wife. It's an intimacy. It's a closeness. I want to be there. I'm not always there. God speaking to me is like He's speaking to anybody in this room. Acts, the second chapter, verse 42, is the scripture, Steve, we have kind of founded this church upon and we hold dear. And believe it or not, I'm getting close to being done, so we'll be done early, okay? Don't tell Steve, because I don't want to make him feel bad. Acts 2, verse 42, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. These were people that knew God. This is the early church. This is when it was first launched. Do you realize that up until about 330 A.D., the church itself went through some horrendous persecution? Not like us, where we can come in here and sleep in the front row. Oh, sorry. It's not, you know, where we can come and we have the freedom to decorate and to worship and sing about God and go into the communities. These guys lost their lives. They met in secret places at times. It's not like it is now. But what happened was, is they knew him. And they were committed to coming together. They were committed to the apostles' teachings, to learning, to prayer, fellowship, or worship. I mean, if you're backed in the corner, if you're ran out of town and you have, and today they had to close these doors and say, it's over. Where are you going to be? My point is how well do you know your God? How much oil do you have? How many flasks of oil? How much extra oil do you have? So I'm asking you to join with us. This time of prayer, fasting again. Steve, I'm not prepared to speak on that, and I know there's a lot of things that are going to be stretched and that are being stretched, and that was part of the word. We're going to be stretched this year. We're going to be challenged. Is the kingdom of God more important than our own personal comfort? I have to ask myself that, you know, because, and again, I'm asking questions. I'm not pointing fingers, because I have to point right here first. But how much do we really believe in the king, in the gospel? Is it vital? Is it real? I mean, Jesus died and he rose again and he's coming back. That was another thing that I was reminded that, look, it's not always going to be like this. One day Jesus is coming back. That's a truth. That is going to go down. You know? And until then, occupy until I come. You know? A couple more things, and then one thing I want to share this. When I asked, I didn't answer the question, but when actually it was Dale that asked me, what's your greatest passion and what's your greatest fear? So as I thought through that, I even talked to Steve. I said, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that, you know. And he says, I can answer that. You know, if somebody that's been around you for any length of time, they can look at you and they may have a... And the problem is, for me, what happened is I got so busy, that you lose focus on what it is that you're supposed to be doing, what your greatest passion is. And the enemy can get you all wrapped up and sidetracked and busyness and church stuff and building preschool yards and whatever it is that goes down. Huh? Yeah. That, it's like, you're spent. You're spent at the end of the day and you're going, I just want to lay down and sleep. It's like, well, I don't know what I'm, you know, you just get washed somewhat. Or he's done a good job of keeping you tied up so the thing that God has really gifted you to do and really put upon your heart, you know, it doesn't run full speed ahead. It kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And this is it. I thought, you know, first I thought, wow, I'm leading worship in that. Well, that's a passion I have. But ever since I got saved, ever since Christ got a hold of me, oh, I was thinking about this today, you know, sidetrack, bird walking, whatever. Sorry. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen that bumper sticker, got Jesus? That's wrong. Does Jesus have you? You know? That's really what it's. Does he have you? What do you mean, do you have Jesus? What does that put you in charge of everything? No. Does Jesus have you? Does he have your heart? Does he have your full attention? Anyway. Just, that's a freebie. There's no... And don't make a bumper sticker make $1 million without at least tithing to the So what happened is, Jesus got a hold of my life 30-some years ago, and some of you have heard my testimony, so I'm not going to go all out there, but I received Christ one night after Terry and I went on a date, came home, and she led me through the Lord. Well, within the first 3 months, of my actually inviting Christ into my life. 3 weeks later, you know, it landed. You know, I'm driving in the car, and the Lord sat down with me, and I started shaking from my head to my toes, and I knew I was different and didn't have all the, didn't know why there was 157 varieties of churches in the world and didn't have all the answers and everything else. But I knew that this Jesus I just invited, something happened, man. It became reality, okay? So anyway, within the next 2 months after that, I found out about the power of the Holy Spirit. And if anybody's been around me for any length of time, realize that that's my passion. Because I know, without the power of God in your life, you're on your own, like a pinball in a pinball machine. You're going wherever you are, being directed by the Lord without going under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You may have good intentions, and some things may happen, but my gosh, you know, if I took an electric cord right here and plugged it in and had two open wires and I handed it to Zach, right? I was trying to come up with something I could do that with, you know, without. I'm getting the point across. Without the power source, and Steve uses the light bulb. What good is a light bulb if there's no power? It doesn't do what it's doing, what it's supposed to do. And you've got to understand that there's the one thing that is so powerful for the church is the. It was birthed at Pentecost. The church was empowered. It was plugged in. It was what it was meant to be. You know, they use this term revival. Okay, we're going to have a revival or the Pentecostal movement or whatever happened. I don't even like those terms. It really should be restoration, because the church is being restored to how it was originally created, how it was originally empowered at Pentecost. And if you're not totally, I don't have time to go into all the details, but the Holy Spirit fell on them. They got filled with the Spirit. They got empowered. And Jesus said, wait until you're clothed with power and then go out into all Judea and the world and go preach the gospel and continue on all that I began to do with you guys. But you're not going on your own, because I won't leave you comfortless. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the counselor, to be with you, to guide you, to just, he's the dude. That's I'm paraphrasing. That doesn't say that in my Bible, but my passion is that the church be restored to its rightful place. It's not a put down, it's an encouragement, you guys. You want to see your life transformed. You want to know intimacy with God, as Terry and I were talking about, closeness. Make yourself available and say, God, baptize me in power, just as you did at the beginning with the rest of the believers, the early church. They had to have something. They're under persecution for at least first 300 and so years. You know? And why? And there's a lot of, you know, it got washed out for a number of years, and why in the late 1800s there was a kind of a rebirthing of it. I don't know why it took that long, and I don't have time for all that, but there is, and we've called it a Pentecostal movement, as I said, or whatever. It's a restoration. God is calling us people to come back to that place. Acts 2, read it. That's your homework. Go read Acts 1 and Acts 2 and find out what happened when Jesus said, you guys wait from on high. You guys wait, and then you're going to receive power and the Holy Spirit come upon you, so on and so on. Okay, that's my passion, you know. My biggest fear is that we would become religious. I think I mentioned that a little bit ago. My biggest fear is to stay real, that we don't stay real. You know, nobody needs a bunch of empty religious our buzzwords and all of our cliches and all that. They want somebody they can talk with that's real, that's on fire, that moves in the power of God, and they can actually really relate to them, you know? I mean, there's so many weird Christians out there, and maybe I was one at one time. Maybe I still am. Am I? I'm okay? Okay. My wife says I'm all right. No, but that's my biggest fear, that in the process, and in the process of, because if you've been around any charismatic scenes or circles, sometimes we can get really crazy. And there's some crazy things that go on, and I don't think it's all God. I'm sure it's not. You know? And so you have to remember, the one thing that will, that the enemy hates is a spirit-filled, on-fire believer. Because he's doing damage to the kingdom of darkness. So he's going to do whatever he can do to discourage you, to mislead you, to bring fear, to bring chaos, to bring unorganization, and just make a spectacle of it. When really, here's a room full of real people, and I love this church. You know, I love the leadership of where we're going, because you guys love God, and you're real. And it's just a reminder to stay real, but stay on fire. And in the process of all that, like I said earlier, we don't want to bring dishonor to God in our realness. Okay, there is a balance. There is, and when I stepped out of, you know, and I'll tell you right now, I'll be the first to say if anybody's going to push the limit, that'll be me. But I do that for a reason. And when I too far over, God reels me back in and says, hey, don't do that. That's okay, I got you. I do that, and maybe it was because of when I first encountered Christ, I encountered a bunch of religiousness, and a bunch of stinky religions, you know, that they have all the right words and terms, but it's just like, God, if that's what it calls, I don't want to be one of those, you know? So I determined, then I met my mentor, who I've shared about, and the guy was real. We sat over there, and the guy was down to earth, and yet he was a spirit-filled man of God. We were going down to the mission in Oxnard, casting demons out of some people that, when we were called to do so, we were getting people filled with the Spirit, you know, and we were moving in that. And I said, and I told myself back then, God, I want to be as real and down to earth as I can, and yet as spirit-filled man as possible. You know, and I still want that today. When I push the limit, all right, sorry. You know, forgive me. I mean, that's my story. You don't have to be that way, okay? If God calls you to be you, that's what you got to be. But for me, you know, I wanted to relate with people that the guy with the skinny little tie, no offense, Dale, or you have a fat one. you know what I'm talking about. The hyper-religious person, and I'm not, they're one of us. They're a Christian like we are. They have a place, and they speak to certain people. I had a certain people to speak with, and I still try to associate with. So, enough said. Does that make any sense? Okay. Are you fired up at all? Are you ready to walk with God? I mean, otherwise I'm just blowing hot air and my mouth's getting dry and it's almost lunch, not even lunchtime. I'm going to get up early here, Cuff. We're going to close here in a second. Huh? Okay. Did I forget anything? Oh, yeah, I'm sure I did. Okay, yes, I did. Hold on. So that brings me to this point, and I'm going to close with this. I'm just wrapping this up. You know, again, God stirred me. I sense an urgent cry to follow Him, an urgent cry to become, to be the church that God wants us to be as we move into this next year with uncertainty ahead. And I don't want you to be fearful of that. I was fearful, and that's when I heard that radio program. I go, I'm fearful. He's calling me to get on my knees and pray. When those things come about and you're hearing these thoughts, whether they come out of the pit of hell or whether the Holy Spirit's bringing them to your remembrance, if it's at 3 a.m, get up and pray. Don't accept the fear, but let those thoughts call you to your face before God. How many times do we forget to ask Him for things? Our kids. God be with my kids. You wake up. Shake you up good. You know, the enemy's not going to take their life. But if we don't stand and ask and petition and be serious about it, we're going to get walked over on certain things. So allow those things to birth a passion and a hunger inside of you to call out to God. The other thing is, what's my greatest passion? How can I serve you, Lord? What is it, whether it's out in the community, in my workplace, whether it's here, Do you know how many needs there are? There's so many places for this, that you can serve, that you can be part. Ask God what it is. Help Him. If you don't know what your passion is, because I had to stop and I had to chew on that. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, or ask somebody close to you, help you at least maybe identify some of those things. Ushers, greeters, youth group, alpha, the choir, music teams, the nursery, the cafe, prayer teams. That's huge. I'll never take that for granted again. Bible studies. Decorating. You think it's just decorations? There's a lot of ministry that takes place from this. I can't tell you how many people that we have spoken with that say, wow, man, it's more than decorations. It's the spirit that comes with it. It's the love that's poured out. If somebody had a vision for something and they said, God, that's my passion, that's what I love to do, I'm going full tilt. And this reminds me of one more thing. I've been in email with an old friend from school. And this person was going through different trials and stuff. And we were talking about just life and just walking with God. And I said, look, live life full tilt. Full tilt. But whatever you do, glorify God in all that you do. You know? When I was in the world, I lived life full tilt. Now, I wasn't into drugs and all that stuff. That's not what I meant. I went for it. I was flying airplanes, hang gliders, snow ski. I had all this stuff. I was kind of one of those, I don't know, somebody told me one time I was kind of a dreamer. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe just a nerd. I don't know. But whatever it was, I was going for it, man. If I wanted to do something, I just did it. But you come into the kingdom of God, that doesn't change. The focus gets different. Go live life full speed ahead. Men's ministry, women's ministry, audio, video, lighting, Sunday school, teachers, special events, street, harvest fest, whatever. Lay counseling. And as you know, Dale's, that's in your bulletin as well. Dale will be leading that, heading that up. Facilities maintenance. Some of you go, man, I'd love to do stuff. We have maintenance things. We have things here that needs to be... There's places for you to plug in. There's places for you to express your gifts. And then there's this last one. Visions that we don't even know about. Some of you have things that's been brewing inside of you, or to see how, whatever, that nobody even knows about. What's God doing inside of you? Let it come out. Come speak to us. Let's move forward in this next year and allow God to use us. Don't be afraid. Because we're just, again, I don't know what's coming up this year, but I didn't stir it, and I sense this urgent call to call God's people together. First off, to pray, to gather together, not fellowshipping together. You know, how important is church? You have to answer that question. Tithing, that's a whole other issue. We've heard enough. He wants your first fruit. First fruits, not leftovers, not the junk. You know, some people bring these old dead donkeys, half dead with legs, and you offer it to God. Here's my tithe. Then take that thing out and shoot it. Give it to the birds, you know. Sorry, I don't know what I got on that, but it sounded good, though. All right, I'm done. Let's close. Did this speak at all? I did not intend for anybody to feel condemned or anything like that. But it's a call for us. Come on, guys, let's go together. Let's go honor God and all that we have. Let's move forward. There's something exciting that's taking place. God is moving. Yeah, there's going to be some great mountaintop experiences and moves of God. And there are going to be some struggles. When those struggles come, I want you prepared. Extra flask of oil. close in prayer. You know, if you're one of those this morning that you're going, I don't know that I have a passion. What is that? Or you can't identify that. Maybe you don't even have one. Maybe you just lived life for so long and in just the survival mode that you've lost any passion for. It's all you can do to get here at times. I just want to take a minute and invite you to stand where you're at. And if you're unclear, if you don't have a passion, and you just say, God, I want you to clarify that for me. I want you to take right now. I'm not going to drag this out, but I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to agree in prayer and ask God to speak to you. God's doing a powerful work. Anybody else? I'm also sensing that there's been some hurt. There's been disillusion with church. I get that. I was there at one point. My focus got upon man and stuff instead of on God. And I got some hurtful things. Anyway, it just wasn't a good thing. I went through a time where I had to deal with that. Just know that God loves you. He hasn't started a good work here in you and in this place to leave us. You know, I forgot to mention God Squad, the dance crew. It's another area of ministry. And there's so many. If I forgot anybody else, please forgive me. Father, this morning I ask, first off, I acknowledge you as our God, as the originator of visions and dreams and all that makes us up, God. You know us from the inside out. And so, God, for those passions and for those things that are either squelched or lost or unknown, to the people of this congregation, Father, open their eyes. Let them see once again. Grab their hearts, God. Mold them and shape them. First off, I'm hearing this whole thing inside of me that says, I'm not good enough. I've sinned. I've done this, 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 and this. And God, you're wrestling with that. Forget that. The enemy, look, we're all there. We've all been there. We all continue to struggle with things. God knows that. The enemy will condemn you and keep you bound up with that lie as long as you'll hear it. He knows what we're made of, and he still chose to die, give his life, and set us free. So that argument, I've used it, doesn't work anymore. I already used it up. Okay? So let it go. Seriously. Don't hear that, because God, it doesn't matter where you've come, where you've been. God has a plan for your life. Lord, your blessings be upon your people this morning. Pour out your vision, pour out your goodness. And as they consider the things that were spoken this morning, that they would offer that before you, Lord, and they would see. And that they would have enough courage this morning to stand and follow you. Wherever this life takes us, wherever you are going to lead this church come this year. God, I thank you for those who are here. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the passions and for the place upon my life, God, and that I'm able to come before your people and share them. And we can go together, Lord, that we can move forward. Now, when you heard this, the vision, when you heard when I read out of the 25th chapter of Matthew about the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. The wise had extra flasks. How much is in your lamp? How much is in the oil that you brought? If you you want more, I want you to stand. I want you to offer yourself before God as I am. God, come. Prepare. Prepare my life. The readiness. The call. Behold, they were all asleep, slumbered, and slept. They arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the... Is that a time of distress and trouble in our lives? I don't know. If it is, I hope to God I have enough to stand and sustain and to walk with Him. Not only that, not just to survive, but to be a leader for those who may not quite have that mount. For those who struggle with, can I be a light to them? Can I be an arm that would help them through? Look, when we come to church on Sunday, it's not about what's in it for me. There's a piece of that, but you have something to bring. There's others in this room that have the gifts, that you have gifts that they need. So how important is coming to church on Sunday? Anyway. God, fill me with your oil, whatever that means. Holy Spirit, baptize me in power and in fullness. Give me the strength and all that I need right now, Lord, to move in that area, to be a Spirit-filled child of God, you know, in the truest form, the truest sense. As you restore your church, as you bring restoration, awakening, revival, rest. Come, Lord, come right now. And one other point I want you to chew on as we close. The church. The Greek word is ecclesia. It means the called out ones, the called out assembly, those who have been set apart, those who are called out of something into Jesus Christ. You, everybody in this room that have called Christ, Jesus as Lord, is the church. You have giftings. It's our task to equip the saints to go out those doors and to speak to a dying world. So Father, this morning, I just ask your blessing as we close right now, your power be upon your people as we move from this place, as we consider what we've heard, to go forward, Lord, now in Jesus' name, and to go live full tilt, go live a life full speed ahead, but set you, committed to you, and set apart for the kingdom. That mankind would see and hear and taste the goodness of representation. We are the body of Christ. Lord, help us not to shrink back, but to move forward. We praise you this morning. We thank you, and I thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, everybody said, we got done 4 minutes early. God bless you.